Job 24. Job continues his response to Eliphaz. Why aren't times laid up by the Almighty? Why don't those who know him perceive his days? He's saying, I think, I wish I knew what God's schedule is. How long is all this going to go on for? There are people who remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless. And they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. Behold, as wild donkeys in the desert, they go forth to their work, seeking diligently for food. The wilderness yields them bread for their children. They cut their provender in the field. They glean the vineyard of the wicked. They lie all night naked without clothing and have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for lack of a shelter. There are those who pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor, so that they go around naked without clothing. Being hungry, they carry the sheaves. They make oil within the walls of these men. From out of the populous city, men groan. The soul of the wounded cries out, yet God doesn't regard the folly. These are of those who rebel against the light. They don't know its ways, nor stay in its paths. The murderer rises with the light. He kills the poor and needy. In the night he's like a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me. He disguises his face. In the dark they dig through houses. They shut themselves up in the daytime. They don't know the light. For the morning is to all of them like thick darkness, for they know the terrors of the thick darkness. They foam on the surface of the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. They don't turn into the way of the vineyards. The womb shall forget them. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered. Unrighteousness shall be broken as a tree. So I think he's going on here at some length about how there are so many wicked people around, and some of them suffer, some of them are successful. Some of them don't even have a shelter. They even grab hold of a rock as a shelter. And yet he's saying that, well, that's how life goes on for the wicked. Some of them prosper, some of them don't. It all seems a bit random, that's what he's saying, but I think in the context of it, he is saying that there must come a day of judgment, and that day is clearly not now. You know, the friends were saying, oh, the wicked get punished and the righteous prosper, and he's saying, no, it's not quite like that. Some of the wicked suffer, some of them prosper. And so, again, he's looking forward to this day when God finally will judge rightly. And that's not in this life. That's his conclusion. Yet God preserves the mighty by his power. He rises up who has no assurance of life. God gives them security and they rest in it. His eyes are on their ways. They are exalted yet a little while and they are gone. Yes, they are brought low. They are taken out of the way as all others, and are cut off as the tops of the ears of grain. If it isn't so now, who will prove me a liar and make my speech worth nothing? So he's then saying, yeah, God is active, apparently. Some people he does bless with preservation, with blessing, and other people it seems he doesn't. He judges them. So he's confused. He's saying, all right, you're saying that the wicked definitely get punished straight away and the righteous are blessed by God, but this doesn't seem to be like that. The wicked, some of them prosper, some of them don't. The righteous, some of them God looks after, some of them God doesn't. That's, I think, the summary of what he's saying. So he's confused, and yet he's brought, therefore, to the idea that there must be a future day of judgment. And that is indeed how it will be. And we likewise are brought through all our confusions and questions to the same conclusion.